Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Chris Emery, who has been recommended to me as one of the more knowledgeable people that we have dealing with what really happened back there in 1995 at the bombing of the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. And people say, well, why you worry about that? That's 10 years ago. Well, it's because we never got the truth about Oklahoma City bombing that we had, of course, the downing of TWA 800 the following year, and that we had the attack, on America in 2001. There was all sorts of information associated with the Oklahoma City bombing that should have made us well aware of the Islamic terrorist movement and its extension into Oklahoma City. And then, of course, so many other things that this whole thing was certainly manipulated. They were holding Islamic terrorist meetings in the United States. In Oklahoma City, Abdullah Azzam, who headed Al-Qaeda in 1988, was speaking in Oklahoma City. If you haven't seen the video, Jihad in America, we have it. Took me a long time to get it, make it available to you, but you need to watch that and understand that there's much more to this story. The FBI was shooting pictures of the Islamic terrorists in Oklahoma City in 1988, talking about how we had to have a jihad on America and blood was going to have to flow in our streets. Gee, I wonder why nobody ever talks about that. Chris Emery, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Dr. Stan.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been studying this? How did you really get interested and ready to put the amount of time you have into trying to get the facts?
I started looking into the Oklahoma City bombing case back in January of 2000, and I was just on the verge of actually starting my serious research on the TWA 800 case. A person that I was dating at the time was actually a flight attendant for TWA at the time, and she had expressed some concern as far as the entire case and the truth coming out on that. Long story short, my background with CBS as a part-time investigative journalist and behind-the-scenes editor brought me to the attention of which is now a good friend of mine by the name of Jerry Longspot, who lives in Fort Worth, Texas. He handed me his infamous video on the Oklahoma City bombing called The Cover-Up in Oklahoma and asked me to review it. And after about, an hour or so into the tape, I said, my God, this case is completely upside down. There's so much that needs to be researched. And I was hooked from that point on. And I met Charles Key with the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee. He was a former representative with the state of Oklahoma for 12 years. Met him in June of 2001, and we've pretty much surged ahead on this ever since then. So I'm considered a volunteer, kind of a latecomer, but really gotten very serious about looking into the case.
All right, fine. I think it's really so vitally important that people understand that there's much more to this story. Now, how could you cover it up? Well, you control the media. And anybody like Representative Charles Key, who is a member of the legislature there in Oklahoma, who dares to question what goes on, will be demonized and will be destroyed, because this is how they do it. And we have intelligence agencies in our country, and their effort is not to get the bad guys, it's to get the good guys and to destroy their professions, to destroy their lives. Freedom cannot exist when you have this sort of a situation. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Remember that absolute power kills, and absolute power kills absolutely, eventually, everyone. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Emery, who is a volunteer researcher on the Oklahoma City bombing. And to a lot of our listeners, what happened in Oklahoma 10 years ago really isn't that important. Remember, the bombing was on April 19th, 1905, and well, the 10-year anniversary has come and gone. Though the people who were investigating had a meeting there in Oklahoma, but not a word in the controlled media. In fact, all the information that's known as far as the other people who were involved has been very carefully suppressed, and to this very day, why the Justice Department refuses to release the videos that were seized on the morning of April 15th because of an ongoing investigation. But if there's an ongoing investigation, that means there are other people involved. And why doesn't the government ever tell us that? Or are they using that as an excuse to prevent the American people from seeing that there was a John Doe 2 and maybe a 3 and 4 and others? And well, give us your take on what's going on, Chris.
It's still a continued cover-up. It's the what we've now termed the cover-up of the cover-up. And unfortunately, the Justice Department, the top decision-makers, do not want the truth on this case to come out. And before I continue on, Dr. Stan, I do want to qualify that Charles and myself and the committee, and there's a group of about 35 of us here in Oklahoma City, as well as several dozen around the country, that we want to acknowledge the very brave and very commendable conduct and of the local, the county, the state, and the federal law enforcement personnel, both male and female, that have come forward to help us out. And we want to acknowledge that those folks were very, very brave in doing so. Some preferred not to be identified. Some had no problem with being identified. So we're not painting a broad brush on this whole thing. It's unfortunately, it's their top supervisors and the final decision makers on which way they could have moved on this case, that they're the ones that we need to be holding accountable, and we continue to hold them accountable. There are 5 points on our efforts, and like a lot of your listeners may wonder, well, why even care about this case? Well, there's been no closure, both on the financial, the mental, or the legal aspect of this case. There never has been up to this point. We want a direct and forthright and full apology from the United States Justice Department, because they did have prior knowledge. They failed to share that prior knowledge, and they just flat out patently lied about this case in several dozen instances. Number two, we want them to, first of all, actually, number two was apologize. Number one is acknowledge the fact that there was a problem. That's the first step in solving a problem, is acknowledging you have one in the first place. Number three is to pay full and correct restitution to the victims of this, victims, family members, and survivors.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Emery, who's working with Charles Key and the others on trying to get to the bottom of what really happened. And he's saying that certainly what they want is for the Justice Department to acknowledge that they had prior knowledge of the attack and did not stop it. Secondly, that, of course, the people responsible would be held responsible. Third, that there'd be restitution to all those 168 people who were killed there, and the government allowed them to be killed. Having foreknowledge did nothing to get them out. Of course, the BATF agents weren't there. Their agents, one or two of them, of course, were apparently there in the building, but the majority of them were not there in the building. And we have to ask ourselves why, and I think that perhaps is something that Chris can tell us. Chris, I've heard that the BATF was actually out watching it all night, expecting the attack. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, sir. In fact, we have credible witnesses, both on the local and the state level, law enforcement officers that participated with these individuals. They were given prior warning not to come into the building that day, and they kept their children out of the daycare center. And the big question is, why weren't the other people, the occupants of the building, not given that prior warning?
No, it's sort of like with 911. They warned the people in the Defense Department. They warned Mayor Willie Brown. But I suppose some people's lives are more important than others. Some children's lives are more important than other children's lives.
It appears to be that's exactly what happened. And in order to cover their tails, they lied about it in a lot of different ways.
Now, these people, of course, are afraid to come forward, aren't they? I mean, they may tell you, but they're not going to come forward unless there was a real investigation. And we're never going to have a real investigation. They'll do just like what they did with 911. They'll hold a phony investigation, take the testimony in private, as they did with 911, and then seal it for 30 years. If there's nothing to conceal, why are they concealing it?
the Justice Department would be liable for, from what we would venture responsibly figure, hundreds of millions of dollars, basically because of the restitution and their complicity in not sharing this information, the prior knowledge.
But of course, why isn't anybody punished for this, for complicity in murder?
It's the good old boy network. We see it so much here in Oklahoma, most recently with the state trial of Terry Nichols. He was brought up on 162 counts of murder. And all the way from the Attorney General's office to the District Attorney's office here in Oklahoma County to the judge itself, I have no respect for the judge that presided over that case. At first, I thought he would do a good forthright job, but in the end, he didn't. He completely derailed the case, not allowing pertinent testimony and evidence to be entered into the trial.
Well, now, what should have been entered in that was not entered in?
There were there's solid evidence, very credible evidence, irrefutable evidence showing that there are other individuals involved, both from the Aryan Nation as well as the Middle Eastern connections.
All right. Now, well, were the attorneys trying to get the information in, and the judges wouldn't allow it? Was that it?
What? In fact, I just pulled off the internet last night. There's a 82-page motion for dismissal by a Nichols defense team that clearly lays out all of the information that had been withheld from them. It was exculpatory evidence during the discovery process that was not allowed to be actually entered into the trial.
And, of course, they don't want the American people to know the truth. So they don't allow it into the trial, and if it is anything that gets in, why, then the press will usually cover it up. So, you know, there's just sort of this double layer, like a double-breasted suit, to keep the people from ever understanding what really happened.
Lead into that, or actually a follow-up, would be, and I know a gentleman that's written about this story for many years with the Oklahoman, the daily paper here, and I have no problem saying his name, Mr. Nolan Clay. He flat-out told me in front of the courthouse after I was down there one day, he said, Chris, he says, I'm not going to write about it because it's not going to be in the trial, therefore I don't need to write about it. And I looked at him, and I just couldn't believe those words coming out of his mouth. He had very, very limited focus, very tunnel vision on this case, and refused to go outside of the parameters of what his editors told him to do. And so you're right, it is controlled. There's absolutely no denying that. Anybody that tells you any differently hasn't looked at the facts. And it replicates itself in other cases with 9/11, with the false leads with the Iraqi war. This is a rampant problem with the major media nowadays.
Well, of course, we saw what happened to Chris Webb, who reported on the CIA involvement in drugs, and not only did he lose his job with the San Jose Mercury, he could never get any other job with any newspaper in America. And here's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. And then he ends up committing suicide by shooting himself in the head two times. Now, I wonder how many people out in the audience have ever heard of anybody who committed suicide shooting themselves in the head two times.
No, there's absolutely no credibility to that suicide story on that. I don't buy it at all, and you're right. Mr. Webb did a very good job, and he had a lot of respect for his work. One thing that Charles and I are working on, we've been actually working on since last year, was we're putting a film documentary together on this case. There was so much information that needs to be brought out, and we want to do it in a responsible, a very forthright and professional manner, and be as respectful as we can to the victims. But I know that some people are going to contest what we're doing, and so be it. But we are going to do a good job. We are going to tell the truth on this case.
Well, if you tell the truth, it'll be the first time the truth has ever come out, that's for certain. Now, basically, what is your take on this? Certainly, there was a Middle Eastern connection. There was a connection, of course, to Elohim City. There was a connection to the bank robbers. In fact, it seems like they have all sorts of clues, like they're just creating so many clues intentionally to confuse the American people.
I look at it as a multi-layered operation, all the way from the financing to the bagmen to the folks that were in charge of the getaway and so forth. There were at least six perpetrators on the scene of the crime that day, and we have hard evidence that shows that there were at least six others involved. So we're looking at 12, and that's in addition to McVeigh and Nichols.
And of course, why did Nichols do everything he could to try to give the impression that he was doing this all alone? It was just he and Terry Nichols. It was almost as if he was intentionally trying to draw our attention away from what really happened.
It's a mind control issue. We know that that had a lot to do with it. Mr. McVeigh was actually using methamphetamines not long before this case came down. And in fact, he was recovering quite radically from it at the El Reno prison right after his probable cause hearing. He was coming down from methamphetamine. So one obviously doesn't think straight when they're using that type of hallucinating drugs. And he was protecting his comrades. He was being the quote-unquote good soldier. But we found out that Mr. McVeigh was also a pathological liar, and his story would change pretty much just like the weather. And it was very frustrating for the defense counsel, not only to represent a client in that state of mind, mentally and physically, but they were very much hamstrung by the judge.
Have you ever heard the story that Jennifer told, this was the sister, Tim McVeigh's sister, that Tim had written her a letter and saying, "I am part of a secret special forces team involved in illegal activity, but don't tell anybody"?
I've seen the letter. I'm not sure the veracity of that. There may be some credibility to that. I have not had a chance to talk to his sister, who, by the way, has had her name changed, and her look is completely different now. We saw her in McAllister last year at the Nichols trial. And so I don't know as far as the veracity of that. They may be a plant. That may be a diversion. But what we do know is that there were several other people involved with Mr. McVeigh. And it's just absolutely audacious to see the prosecution, both on the state and the federal level, insists that there wasn't anybody else. And we have hard, cold facts proving otherwise.
Why is the government covering for these murderers?
They're going to have to admit their liability and their culpability. Any way we look at it, whether you're part of the planning, the commission, or the cover-up of the crime, you're all equally culpable. And that is very, very obvious. They will have to admit there was a complete breakdown in communication, and it will be politically consequential for anybody that's in office now in the Justice Department or on the higher up. It's a very, very sore black eye mark in the U.S. history, and they don't want to admit to their culpability.
Well, I would think now that we have a Republican administration in there, we have a new Attorney General who is no way involved in what had gone in the past, that he would want to bring the truth out, if for no other reason than to embarrass the Democrats. Certainly, the Democrats never mind embarrassing the Republicans. Why is it that Republicans never want to embarrass the Democrats?
Well, we think that they have dirt on each other, and there really is no difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party. It's like, you know, coffee and cream. Where does one begin and the other end? So there's no difference. It's all one big crime syndicate, and we've seen that firsthand. This is not hypothetical. This isn't conjecture. It's not hearsay. It's fact.
All right.
See how these people work.
What is your take on, or what have you learned? What do you think really happened, and who was really the other people who were involved?
There were a lot of records in the building, and this is something that a colleague of mine, as well as Charles, had asked many times. Say, who stood to gain and who stood to lose? There were criminal records there against Bill Clinton, both from the Whitewater as well as the MENA drug investigation. There were quite a few. The DEA had records in there for federal cases for drug smuggling. Some of the biggest drug operations in Central Mexico and South America were in there. So there were a lot of vested parties with vested interest to make sure that what was ever in that building was destroyed. And it appears, consequentially, that the collateral damage, both human as well as the building, was insignificant to these people. It was nothing to them. And it was a very cruel operation. There were many people involved. A lot of folks had a lot to gain by having that building destroyed, irregardless if there was people in there or not. So it's absolutely mind-boggling when you look at all of the scenarios and what could have happened and what actually did happen.
But then why would Timothy McVeigh want to help get rid of embarrassing government records? That doesn't. There must have been some other.
He was a minor bit player. He really didn't make the decisions on this. And
so you mean somebody? Are you suggesting that somebody in authority who wanted to get those records may have played some part in this?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. We're just trying to figure out who that was.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Our special guest today is Chris Emery. His website is www.okcbombing. That's okcbombing.org. www.okcbombing.org, and he's on the front lines of this battle now, working with Charles Key and our other friends. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
story well. There is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Emery, and of course he is part of the group that's investigating what's going on down there and trying to get to the bottom of this. How do the people feel who lost loved ones there? Are many of them aware of the fact that this has been another great government cover-up?
Yes, Dr. Stan, especially in the last couple of years, we found that the victims' family members and survivors have seen the travesty and the cover-up, and a lot of the information has been withheld. They had waited patiently for over 4 years for all of the pretrial motions and everything to be done, and then when Terry Nichols was brought on trial, they saw that a lot of that information they expected to be revealed was withheld and not allowed into the testimony. And it was from that point on that they said, we started getting calls, Charles, myself, and other members of the committee, saying, what can we do to help you out? And these are folks that completely thought we were crazy years ago. And so it's been a slow, as they say, a sea change, but it's actually working in our favor now. And most recently with Representative Rohrabacher out of California, his interest is peaked in the case, and hopefully he'll be able to call the hearings and the investigations and have us come up and testify.
How about the murder of Jesse Trittadeau? I think that's probably not pronouncing that quite right, but this fellow who was actually killed in a prison down there, and the government has been covering up for his murder?
Jesse's the brother of the attorney that's actually filing for more legal briefs on the case. Kenny Trinity was the one that was slain. That's correct. That was another absolutely horrific cover-up. And the crime scene was disturbed immediately. It was cleaned up. The medical examiner knew right on that it wasn't a suicide. And he was coerced by the powers that be to reverse the decision and the ruling and said that it was actually a suicide. He's now retired and has come back and said, and other authorities, that it actually was a murder, a homicide, that is still open, needs to be reinvestigated.
And, of course, he was put under tremendous pressure by the government to cover up a murder by federal officials. And, you know, the frightening thing is that nobody is ever held responsible when the government kills somebody.
The FBI was held responsible. Judge Leonard here in Oklahoma City, federal judge, ruled in favor of the Trinity family.
And they, what, gave him $1 million or something?
$1.1 million, but that was appealed to the 10th Circuit Court, ironically the same Denver court that McVeigh and Nichols were tried in. And the appeals court said that the Trinity family was not going to be awarded that money until they could prove a further degree of mental anguish and so forth. And it was a degree of proof that now Jesse Trinity, Kenny's brother, who's an excellent attorney out of Salt Lake City, is going after it with a vengeance, and we're very proud of what he's doing.
But you know, it's amazing how they've been able to, through the control of the media, to keep that from getting to anybody. I mean, you can find it on the internet, but the story's been totally blocked out by the New York Times and by the Washington Post and by the Washington Times, and you know, they control the media, so they control what we hear. They control our access to news. I wonder how many people have heard about the $1 million award to the family for the brutal murder in a federal prison where the murderers are being protected by our government.
That's correct. There are very few people have, and we're trying to get the news out on the internet. Mr. Trinity, coincidentally, was scheduled to speak at our speakers forum in a VIP dinner that we had here on the 19th and 20th, which actually had a very good turnout, and it was a 10th anniversary activities, and he had to back out at the last minute for some other obligations to take care of at his law firm. But we are in contact with him on a regular basis. And he told, and he would have no problem with me quoting him, a few days ago he talked to some of the victim's family members about what they could do to further the cause of the Oklahoma City case. And he says, every way I looked at this thing, I just want to investigate my brother's death, and everything I was doing was coming up direct connections to the Oklahoma City bombing. So he says, I fell into this case by default, but he says, I have no regrets, and he's helping us out as best as he can.
Now, when was his brother murdered by the government?
It was August of 95, approximately 3.5 months after the April bombing.
So they thought that he might have been one of the people associated with the bombing?
That's
Were they
correct.
Trying to eliminate him, or what?
Well, we don't know as far as why he was killed specifically, but Kenny had the uncanny resemblance both in the tattoo, the stature, the facial hair, the weight, his build to Mr. Guthrie, who later committed suicide in prison himself at another BOP facility.
He committed suicide, huh? Or was he suicided?
We think that it was another homicide case, but Guthrie was a close associate of McVeigh.
Yeah, and of course, this is not known by the American people, and Guthrie was a bank robber, wasn't he?
That's correct.
And he was associated with the Aryan Nations, but is it possible he was a government infiltrator into the organization?
Honestly, I don't know. I've never had the chance to look into that depth, and Mr. Trinity, I think, is finding out a lot more about that than we have time to at this point.
We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media?
If you're looking for a comfortable...
This is...
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427
County. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Chris Emery, and our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to him, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. For our listener out there who's skeptical, go up in the internet and look up a Jesse Trentadue. Do you know how to spell that offhand?
Yes, T-R-E-N-T-A-D-U-E.
Trentadue. All right. And of course, it's a fascinating story. How do you cover something up like that? Here in the United States, where we have freedom of the press, why you buy up the press? And then, of course, these stories don't get out. That's why you have to understand five mega corporations dominate our media. Disney, Bertelsmann, Murdoch, Viacom, and Time Warner. And they, those five mega corporations, really determine what you hear, see, and believe. And, you know, eventually they control your reality. So pick up the story from there. Chris?
Oh, yes. Well, as far as the press, we know firsthand that the Daily Oklahoman, which is now the Oklahoman, is a Gaylord press entity, and they did an absolutely abhorrent job of covering this case from day one. And they were controlled by their peers in Washington, and we found that trickled on down through the state government. Former Governor Frank Keating, and I have no problem with saying this, and we don't use this term very loosely. We're very guarded on where we use it, but Governor Keating lied about what his knowledge of the case. And we know full well that the Attorney General, Drew Edmondson, is doing the same thing. And shockingly, he's still in office. He's still serving as our Attorney General. So the press is very complicit with the government on this case, and they have been on other cases. And the Trinity case is no different. There's one other case of a police officer that was murdered by the name of Terrence Yake. He was the very first Oklahoma City police officer on the scene of the crime, and the press covered his death as a suicide, and it was clearly, it continues to be an unsolved homicide. So you are correct, Dr. Stan.
All right, well, we've got Jim who's calling in from Salinas. He wants to know about the evidence in the Murrah building. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, I was thinking about General Patlin and the evidence of internal explosive charges being put into the pillars.
All right, fine. You're speaking of General Ben Parton, who, of course, was a retired military expert on explosives, and his contention is that there were explosives on the various pillars, that there's no way an external bomb could have done the damage that was done, especially in the pattern. Go ahead. What was your point then, Jim?
And between that and also the Channel 4 Oklahoma City interviews with the people that were told to stay home, I'm surprised that this hasn't gotten more coverage than it has. What's wrong here?
Well, that's a very good question. In fact, General Parton was one of the 14 speakers that participated in our forum. We were very proud to have him come into Oklahoma City this past April 20th. He is doing very well, and he's done an absolutely incredible job with helping us out. Here's a gentleman for your listeners not aware of. He worked for the Pentagon for 25 years, 18 years with NATO, specifically designing ordnance to take out hard targets, 2, 3, sometimes 10 times the size of the Murrah building. If he doesn't know what took that building down, nobody does. And your caller is correct. There was ordnance inside the building. And as Dan Rather, the ex-CBS anchor, said, the camera never blinks. The photographs clearly show that there was interior ordnance damage. What the federal prosecution has asked us over the years, and now the state prosecution last year, they've asked us to believe that energy increases over distance from the point source of what was allegedly in the truck. Obviously, we know that's not the case. And the damage in the building clearly shows that there were pillars that came down that should not have come down if that truck was the sole source of the ordnance blast. And pillars that came down should have stood up. So it's absolutely ludicrous. And General Parton did give us the correct information. He's an expert. He knows what he's talking about. But the clincher to that is the defense counsel had interviewed General Parton, fully intending to have him testify in Denver. Back a few weeks later, says, look, I've got a schedule to run here. You know, I've got other things to do. When will you folks be calling me? The defense counsel, quote-unquote, said that the federal prosecution would be telling them if who and when and other the witnesses. So the case, the trial, litigation, everything was controlled from the federal level on down.
In other words, it was a sham.
Absolutely. It was a sham. And the defense counsel, it's unbelievable, all of their documentation. And it continued on right through the state trial.
All right, fine. But that information is up on the Internet now and is available.
Yes, in fact, go ahead and do a Google search, type in General Parton, and it will substantiate what your caller said, and I appreciate him asking.
Jim.
Now, what about Channel 4, the local CBS affiliate there in Oklahoma City? They apparently interviewed a lot of people the day that this thing actually happened.
Yes, they were the NBC affiliate. Melissa Klinzing was the former news director. And Melissa stuck onto this case for, I believe, almost 2 years. She decided to quit. In fact, she really had no choice, and she went on to an affiliate, and she's in Philadelphia. Channel 4 was bought out by the New York Times. When that happened, they shut it down, literally the investigation on this case. They just told one by one, the senior staff, the news director, everybody just to walk away from it, and they had to coalesce to the official story. This, luckily, we do have a lot of those interviews on tape, as well as feed footage from the law enforcement officers that have come forward. So we are very confident that we have enough to show, in addition to the documentation, the photos, blueprints, wide variety of archive material, show that what we've been told, the official story, is complete bunk.
And we actually carry that video put out by Jerry Longsbach entitled Cover Up in Oklahoma City, and it's available.
He did a great job on that.
Right, and we will have that available. We'll tell you at the end of the program how to get it. Anything else, Jim?
Yes. Just done in order to force Congress to pass the Anti-Terrorism Act?
We think that that's one of the reasons. It was a multifaceted operation. There were a lot of people, like I mentioned to Dr. Stan earlier, that had a vested interest in making sure that this case was carried through, this tragedy. What we found out is that there was legislation literally on the shelf for years that wasn't moving through the House or the Senate. Once the Oklahoma City case came down, it was actually reintroduced by the House and approved by the House within weeks, but it floundered in the Senate for over 8 months, and it was eventually passed in the Senate. So we think that that was one of the impetus for having the terrorism bill put through, which is ludicrous. It didn't need to be put through.
All right. Thanks very much, Jim. And, of course, after that, why we find that the legislation they did not get through, they got through after the 9/11 bombing, and they used the bombing to get through the pages. It has nothing to do with patriotism. It has to do with depriving the people of their constitutional rights, and simply in the name of fighting Islamic terrorism, except they never mention Islamic terrorism in the entire bill, why we just got to give up our freedom because Osama bin Laden living over there in the cave is a real threat to us, and he's going, of course, to get us any time. If anybody really believes that, it's almost 4 years since the 9/11 attack, not one attack on the United States. Hey, what's wrong with that? Well, you know, if there really is a threat, why haven't they closed the border? Why aren't they allowed to profile people of the Middle Eastern nature when they're getting on the planes? Why do they have to profile everybody? But we can't profile Middle Easterners. Well, anyway, go ahead, Chris, because you're on the front lines of this battle. What's the next step? How are we going to get this thing reopened and get a fair trial? Because you're never going to get it through the state attorney general or through the local attorney general or local district attorney. They'd be afraid. In fact, they'd end up just like Gary Webb did.
Yeah, it's what we're doing now is we're trying to lend as much support as we can to Representative Rohrabacher. We have a letter that's been sent out on the internet regarding the series as to write to the congressman. We are going to stick after this, and we are supporting Jesse Trenadue because he's actually coming in doing an end run around this case, so it's a multifaceted effort. We want Representative Rohrabacher to call hearings, and we are willing to go ahead and fly up to Washington. A lot of these survivors here in Oklahoma City and victims' family members have already written letters to them, and so that's our next step, and our goal is to have that impaneled ready to go by this Christmas. It's on the fast track, but we know we can do it. We're not going to settle for any of these stock answers that make no sense anymore. We want closure. We want legal, mental, and financial closure on this, and we're not going to take anything less.
Well, I certainly admire what you're doing in trying to get the truth out as far as this is concerned, but what do you think the connection was to what was the Islamic connection?
Oklahoma City, we found as early as 1992, and there were some ties to your reference at the beginning of the show from 1988, was actually the strongest Islamic fundamentalist hub in the United States. We think because geographically that's, Oklahoma City is almost in the direct center of the country, and there were major cities in Dallas and so forth, and Chicago just hours away on flights. Those were some of the biggest fundraising hubs for the Islamic fundamentalist movement. It has been tracked recently, too. But it was easy. There was access to the building. There was no security on the building, by the way, on the inside. The security cameras, a lot of your listeners aren't aware of, we found out were sitting in warehouses, I see, GSA warehouses running out on their warranties. They were never installed in that building. Representative Traficant brought that to the attention of Congress and had his final hearing on that just weeks before 9/11. You never heard about it because of 9/11. So here again, it was a multifaceted breakdown, not only in prior knowledge, but in the physical protection of the building itself. These people had no protection. It was unbelievable.
Congressman Traficant was holding the hearings?
Yes, he did a remarkable job. I've read his reports.
But of course, anybody who knows about Traficant knows that he was targeted by the FDA. They planted people in his office. Mm-hmm. They built up a case on him, and they sent him to prison on trumped-up charges.
That's exactly, and that's he was very instrumental in helping us out early on in this case. He was definitely steered down the wrong way. And he was blackballed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but they planted people. The FBI planted people in his office to build up a case. You know, you're supposed to be looking for crimes, not creating crimes.
That's right. That's right. And that's, like I said, we do have some very good individuals with the FBI that have helped us. There's to this on how this case was handled. So thank God for those angels. As we have no other way of categorizing them, come forward and help us out. And we've checked the veracity of their information. So there are good people out there in the Justice Department, and those are the ones that we're counting on to really help us surge ahead with this. We're not going to give up. There's no reason to give up.
And I think it's so important, of course, that the American people understand that if they're able to get away with that, what else would they get away with? Are they telling us the truth about what happened to TW-800? Are they telling us the truth about what happened on 9/11? Are they telling us the truth about why we invaded Iraq? And if you can't trust the government, why no man's life or property or family are safe? This is the great tragedy. That's why this case, back in 1995, April of 1995, is so vitally important still.
That's correct. And it's, you know, the press was asking Charles for many months and years after this occurred, why are you still after this? And he says, because if we don't hold the people accountable that were responsible for this case, with the perpetrators and the higher-ups in the Justice Department responsible for their actions, it's going to happen again. Sure enough, 9/11 happened. It was just an escalated version of this. We consider this as a, for lack of a better term, with all due respect to the victims, a warm-up. It was a dry run for 9/11. And the authorities saw that they could get away with this, and they just let, there were some perpetrators involved with this K-11 that we found out. They just let these guys walk free. It's absolutely incredible to look at the whole picture of this.
Well, what about the Philippine connection and Terry Nichols going over to the Philippines? What was that all about?
That is very credible. In fact, one of our private investigators that spoke at the forum has irrefutable information to show that, yes, he was over there, and he was working with for whoever is referred to as Al-Qaeda. I don't even put any stock in that name. I think that's just a generic name. But there were individuals involved.
Well, there was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and there was Ramzi Yosef were over there.
Ramzi Yosef was involved with that, and he had very close connections with Nichols. We're not saying that Terry Nichols wasn't guilty. That's, a lot of folks think that we're defending him. We're not. We just want everybody involved that worked with him to be brought to justice. That's the root and the foundation of our efforts. So the Philippine connection is very credible. Interestingly enough, within, if I'm not mistaken, within a week after the bombing, Jaina Davis from KFOR, the NBC affiliate, and her husband and her attorney flew to the Philippines to follow up on the leads. The Philippine government were willing to give these individuals the information on the connections to the bombing. The State Department and the Justice Department flew over FBI agents and their cohorts, their colleagues, in Learjets. private jets to the Philippines, and they got there literally within hours ahead of Jaina Davis and her entourage, and they told the Manila police and the Philippine government to shut up, not to give them this information.
In other words, they wanted to cover up the fact that Terry, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was a right-hand man of Osama bin Laden. Ramzi Yosef was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's nephew, and of course he was the man who did the first bombing of the World Trade Center back in 19.
Correct.
This is also important, and all sorts of evidence that Terry Nichols was meeting with them, and they were actually helping him learn how to build bombs. Ramzi Yosef was a master bomb builder.
That's right. And Nichols and McVeigh were not gainfully employed. They were spending tens of... And by the way, the robbery that they allegedly committed against Roger Moore turned out to be complete bunk. That was a key in convicting Nichols in the federal trial. It was unbelievable. Roger Moore even stepped forward, and we don't even know if that's his real name. He goes by Bill Miller and a couple of their aliases.
Well, I think, of course, Terry Nichols is trying to bring out that he was a government agent.
Absolutely. We know he was. And he was a gunrunner during the Iran-Contra. An unbelievable amount of out about this guy. He wasn't just some lackey that, you know, survived from hand to mouth, you know, selling guns privately. He had a lot more connections to the Justice Department, both on black ops and so forth, than a lot of people realize. He's a very, very mean man, very bad man. And we know that he had, as well as McVeigh and many others.
Well, of course, Terry Nichols recently made the revelation about the bombs and the material buried at his home. He did this to try to incriminate Moore, who had actually provided them with some of the explosives, explosive caps or something of the sort. Anyway, Nichols was trying to get the information out, and the government's doing everything they can to conceal this aspect of the story.
I would venture to say, and I think there would be a lot of people would agree, that information, that evidence has now been destroyed. The FBI had no reason to be objective about it. Mr. Moore's fingerprints could have very well been on there. We won't ever know, because just the amount of lies. I mean, this is a steady stream. Your listeners really need to appreciate what's going on here. It's not a white lie. It's not an honest mistake. It's not oversight. It's not, basically a series of bumbling mistakes. It's a series of pathological, conscientious lies presented to us by the Justice Department. We have reams of documentation proving that. And so for them to say objectively that there was nothing under Nichols' house, we have no reason to believe them, because their reputation precedes themselves. And we do give credit to Terry Nichols for his effort, but unfortunately it was for naught. We will never know what's under that house.
All right, well, we're out of time, Chris. I want to thank you very much. And again, your website is www.okcbombing.org.
And that is for the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee, and they're the ones who put that together. I know I came in after the fact, so I don't want to take full credit for that website. It's Charles and the committee that put that together.
God bless you, and thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. And it's really consistent film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and to jump underneath his desk before the blast came in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR.
It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Consider Cozy Home in Moss Landing. The 6-bed facility provides nutritious home-cooked meals, special diets, private rooms, recreational activities, on-site podiatry, occupational and physical therapy, 24-hour supervision, as well as housekeeping, personal laundry service, transportation for doctor's appointments, and much, much more. The facility is located on Springfield Road in Moss Landing. Please call Crystal at 831-840-1361. That's 831-840-1361. Or Elsie at 831-840-2410. That's 831-840-2410. And ask for a brochure or a tour of the facility.
Did investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and let me simply point out, if you'd like to know more about Gary Webb, the man who just accidentally committed suicide by shooting himself in the head 2 times, we have an essay that he wrote. It's in a book called Into the Buzzsaw. It's the story of what happens to reporters who try to tell the truth about what's going on, specifically about the CIA involvement in drug smuggling. 4-tape set entitled, Is There Really a War on Drugs? Because if there's a war on drugs, we're doing a terrible job. It's the same thing like the war on AIDS or the war on terror. We're really not doing a very good job. But a war on poverty, the war on cancer, we got more cancer than ever. Unless, of course, all these wars are a cover for something else. Well, they're available. The Into the Buzzsaw is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's Into the Buzzsaw. We also carry the shots, the video clips. Channel 4 back in at the time of the Murrah building bombing. And, of course, this is called Oklahoma City, or Cover Up in Oklahoma City. It's Jerry Langsbach's a video. That's Cover Up in Oklahoma City. And we've recommended to you, and you'll actually hear the interviews with people who they're in the Oklahoma City building, in the Murrah building, the building began to shake. They dived under their desk. And then came the explosion from the truck bomb that blew in from outside. In other words, why was the building shaking? Because there were two sets of explosives, one on the pillars and one outside. So, and then we have four tape sets on the Oklahoma City bombing. We have several four tape sets. We have actually an Oklahoma City special with two four tape sets and two videos on the episode, if you'd like to get the Oklahoma City bombing special. The information is there. We just need you to get it and to understand. And then, of course, if you really want to understand what happened on 9, you need to get the four tapes that we have, 911 update, two-hour interview with Paul Thompson, who wrote the Terror Timeline, two-hour interview with Jimmy Walters, who spent literally millions of dollars of his own running 2,800 ads on television back in New York City, raising the question of what really happened that morning. Of course, information been totally blocked out across America. If you'd like to know about the control of the medium, the book is The New Media Monopoly. Now, all the things I've mentioned are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can get cover-up in Oklahoma City. You can get the book, Into the Buzzsaw. You can get the Oklahoma City special, which has two four-tape sets and two videos, including cover-up in Oklahoma City. You can get the 911 update special, and then we have some fascinating new information. We have a new DVD we put out on the coming financial crisis. We have a DVD on fluoride, water fluoridation. And really, it goes into why they are poisoning our children. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever wondered why American children, when they graduate from high school, can't compete with children from other countries? Why one in every 5 to 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality? Why so many of our children are pathologically obese? Why, it's because they're poisoning our children. They're destroying their minds. There really are evil and wicked people out in the world today. And when you understand that, why, you can begin to understand what's going on. For still our ancient foe, the seeth to work us woe. His power and craft are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. And that's really what it's about. We're involved in a spiritual battle. And there really are evil people who do what evil people do, and that is wicked things. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Get the book, or get the book, video, and audio tape in the Brotherhood of Darkness special by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet 5 hours a day, listen to the archive programs another 2 or 3 hours a day. You won't get anything accomplished, but you'll begin to understand what's going on. And hopefully join in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. Please pray for Radio Liberty until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.